Portland turns from city to country in the blink of an eye. 15 minutes from Kerrigan's house, the streetlights began to disappear. The only light was from a quarter moon. The prosecutor was afraid that he would miss the crime scene, but a police car had been stationed near the turnoff to keep out everyone without official business. He flashed his ID and turned onto a narrow, unpaved driveway. Tim's car bumped along for an eighth of a mile. Then the dirt track turned, and the prosecutor saw an assortment of official vehicles parked in front of a tiny A-frame house. It looked like every light in the cabin was on, and the light leaked across the lawn, bleeding out just beyond Kerrigan's car. The A-frame was so small that only an unmarried person or a childless couple would tolerate it. Tim stood in the dark for a few minutes, fully aware that he was putting off the inevitable before walking across the lawn. As he approached the house, he felt a little sick and disoriented, like a family member entering a funeral parlor. The front door opened onto a stone entryway. In front of Kerrigan was an island with two high stools that separated the entryway from a narrow kitchen. To the left was a living room crowded with police officers and forensic experts, one of whom was talking to Sean McCarthy. The homicide detective had the alabaster skin of someone who never saw the sun. His red hair was streaked with gray. Tim had worked with McCarthy on several homicides and could not remember a time when the rail-thin detective did not look tired. McCarthy spotted Kerrigan and motioned him to wait while he finished up. Tim stood beside a half-wall that separated the living room from the kitchen and stopped where the stone entryway met the living room carpet.
"I know you're not big on gore, so be prepared," McCarthy told Kerrigan when he ambled over. "This one is not pleasant."
Tim's stomach rolled.
"You up for this?" McCarthy asked.